Hey everyone, thank you for playing this. Please enjoy the following episode. Also, go to Podomatic.com, search Kevin Gomez, download all the Friends in Hell shows, and remember, like us on Facebook. Enjoy the following show.
Welcome everybody to Planet Pit and somewhat worldwide music. They call me Mr. Worldwide. Listen, somebody call me Mr. Worldwide. Why you think they call me Mr. Worldwide? Listen, somebody call me Mr. Worldwide. Hold up, cause bitch I'm worldwide.
I'm involved in the music business, but the funny thing is, half of these fools don't know music, don't know business, have no
hey
business.
Hey everyone, welcome to Friends in Hell, episode 6. I am Kevin. Man, am I excited. We finally are at episode 6. I didn't even think we'd even go to episode 1, to tell you the fact. But I am so excited because a couple weeks ago, episode 4, we had my hero, John P. McCann, producer and writer of Freakazoid. And, of course, Animaniacs and Peeking the Brain. We have today the voice, the writer, and producer of Freakazoid, Mr. Paul Rugg. And I'm so excited because he is also one of my heroes in animation. He is also the voice of Mr. Director, my favorite Animaniacs character. And well, I have him here today. Wasn't easy. Also, before I start the show, I want you guys to know that we are on Facebook. Just type in Friends in Hell and like us on Facebook. Make sure you post something if you want. Comment on the show. Please, we are growing. I hope you enjoy it. And so here he is, Paul Rugg. All right, here we go. Hey everyone, welcome to the program. I'm here with my good buddy, Mr. Paul Rugg. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been... We actually tried to get you for the first show, but we couldn't. But we had no idea how to reach you.
Sure.
Yeah, I tried to. I sent you an email, and I said, "Oh, Mr. Rugg won't get this." And then I tried to send a Skype message. I didn't get it, and I said, "Okay, well, I'm gonna try other people." And I got John P. McCann, episode 4. I got him. Cool. Yeah, I got him a couple of weeks ago, and he told me. Told me, why don't you try to get Paul? Well, it's not easy. It's not easy, but all right. My first question is, how did you get into animation?
I was doing a show with John McCann, an improv sketch comedy show at the Acme Comedy Theater back when, I'm sure before you were even born, back in 1991. And it was sort of a group of people from an offshoot of the Groundlings. The Groundlings is a very popular sort of improv sketch comedy place in Hollywood. But none of us wanted to drive over into Hollywood. So we sort of formed our own group in the Valley. And we were sort of putting stuff up. And as they were developing Animaniacs... I think they realized they wanted sort of a sketch comedy feel to it. So they came and saw a couple shows. And Sherry Stoner, who is in of Tiny Toons legend, and she was our Animaniacs story editor, her husband was actually running our group. So she came and saw the show. Tom Ruger and her gave John McCann and I each a different episode to write, and we turned it in, and we were hired that day.
Sweet.
So, that is how I began my long and torturous career in animation.
See, I'm trying to get into animation. I can't get into it.
Well, you know what? That might be a blessing. I'm not sure.
No, I wanted to be a cartoon. I wanted to be an animator, and I sent all my stuff to big places, and they said, "Well, you're too young." I said, "Okay, that's something." And they said, "Well, we'll call you." They never called, so I said, "Okay, so I'll just keep studying."
Yeah, I mean, and also you are very young, so
yeah, 18. So
yeah, so that you do have that going for you. I was hired. My first professional job in animation, I was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess I just got to study, don't I?
I know. And, yeah, and you have to study and you have to work odd jobs that you hate. That's sort of the career progression. You sort of do a lot of things you don't like to do, and then you get a nice gig. I have no idea how.
Sweet.
Just keep plugging away.
Thank you, sir. My second question is, what's your favorite episode of the Animaniacs that you wrote? My favorite is the Hearts of Twilight episode that you wrote, but which one is your favorite?
You know what? I don't necessarily have a favorite. I really like Hearts of Twilight a lot. I like, and you know, these are different. Why I would like something is because maybe it was a more pleasant writing experience.
Yeah.
So that's always my perspective. I really enjoyed the 65th anniversary special because it was my first attempt at something longer and meatier. But I also like Potty Emergency. That's a fun one. Boy, you know what? I don't have a favorite. I have ones that I like. So Hearts of Twilight is definitely one of them. Anything with Mr. Director, I sort of like. And 65th Anniversary Special. And then one that no one likes. No one, Kevin. No one.
Yeah.
And it's the one with... Charlton Woodchuck, this little woodchuck, who wants to be a star in Hollywood. And I loved that one, but I've seen in various chat rooms and stuff that people hate it. So yeah. So go figure. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's about Charlton Woodchuck, and he tries to come to Hollywood. But so that's one of my favorite that didn't involve the Yakko Wakko and Dot.
Sweet. The reason why I like Hearts of Twilight is, what was it, last year, I'm a senior right now in high school, and last year, me and my friends, we all went to this, like, animation festival downtown here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they were showing Hearts of Twilight. The next day at school, we were just talking like Jerry Lewis. Like, we were screaming, we were saying, oh, it's not a good thing, and, like, we're screaming for a layman. People didn't know what we were talking about, and then... So we keep watching that, and probably maybe in the next episode when you return, we'll get you to do the Mr. Director voice. But right now we're doing this in a speedy thing. But we'll do episode 7 or Paul Rugg returns, and whenever Paul is available.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll just tell you something about the Mr. Director. We did that. I guess we wrote that. My gosh, that was 20 years ago. And, you know, even then, Jerry Lewis, not many people knew who Jerry Lewis was.
Yeah.
But it's something that I would do around the office.
Yeah.
And I think to sort of have me stop doing it around the office, Tom Ruger said, just write him in an episode. I'm sick of hearing that guy. So little did he know that he basically made things much worse. So,
Was it just by accident for the animators when you first put the Jerry Lewis Mr. Director character in your in the first episode of that he was in of Hearts of Twilight? Uh-huh. Was it the animator? Was it you just to make him bald, and then you made him more look like Jerry Lewis in the later episodes?
You know what? I think it was always, guys, this is Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Now. Legally, maybe we can't say no. It's fine. No, we were definitely doing a parody of Jerry Lewis. And I was raised in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Jerry Lewis performed there a lot. And he also did, way back when, he did the muscular dystrophy telethon from Vegas. And I made it my goal in life to basically go to those because I still to this day. I think he's amazing and great. But if you ever see a movie called The Bellboy or The Bellhop, which is Jerry Lewis doing a movie that's basically all silent. There's no dialogue. Anyway, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an amazing talent, and it was just sort of and also he's just really funny too. Parody. So yeah, it was always Jerry Lewis constantly.
I like the typewriter one when he's actually doing he's typing in the old movie.
Oh yeah. That's from I think that's from The Errand Boy.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched them with my dad. My dad used to. My dad tells me, "Oh yeah, I used to watch them in the movie theaters." Yeah. Okay. Sure. And so yeah. So Kim, before this is the elephant in the room. Can we get a little Mr. Director, Mr. Paul Rudd?
Do you want the pompous one or do you want the more loud? Well, I'll tell you what.
Let's get both.
All right. Well, now generally, down here is where you as you play the sort of pompous, pondering, epithetical one who uses very big names like lugubrious and obsequious, and that's this voice here, the very ardent director, and you have to sort of roll it out, director. And then this guy is the one who goes higher when he wants to break the ice and be more happy, and then you bring it down again to make your point. Anyway, there you go.
Oh, that is cool.
There you are.
That's cool. And you're basing it off of Jerry Lewis, like after like I think every single time he gets off character, he has an interview, he talks in a really deep voice.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's always very, and it's very intelligent and very hoity-toity and yeah. very very effluent.
Yeah.
And he's very serious.
Yeah.
But in those interviews, he'll go from that to shoving, you know, a cat in his mouth.
Yeah.
So you just never know.
And then you start saying Frein Leven.
Frein Leven!
Yeah.
Which was a word that I just sort of made up because a lot of Jerry Lewis's old stuff used to be, I think, sort of made up Yiddish words like, Beholder der Schmeigel! And so as I was typing one day, I'm like, boy, I need to convey a word, and Frein Leven is the word that just sort of came up. So.
That's hilarious. I did in my sophomore year, we had to do a movie, like a commercial, but I made it into a movie. And I was so frustrated, and so I said, everybody take five, I need to make a new ending. And I just yelled, get out of here now! It's like, and I just had to come up with the ending. I remember that. I'm like, ending, ending. So just as a tribute for you, sir. But
good. Now you know what the source material is for that piece, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a documentary, correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a documentary.
Which is an amazing documentary. Amazing.
Cool. And we are now coming up to the which I've heard the 20th next year will be the 20th anniversary of Freakazoid.
Yes.
Yeah, finally.
Hard to believe. It's taken us 20 years to get there.
I know.
Shocking.
When the DVD came out, I told John this story that when it came out, I couldn't believe it. So I made my mom go to we went to Target, right? And they didn't have the DVD on Target. They didn't have it at the Best Buy. They only had it in the Circuit City. So I went to six stores to buy that DVD, and I finally found. I'm like, score. But how did you get started with Freakazoid? Did they just say after Bruce Timm and Paul Dini did the show, did the part of the creation, they just say, here, you have to do this? Or were you assigned? Or were you say, let me do it?
Well, it was a combination of both. Paul Dini and Bruce Timm made a really, you know, they sort of came up with a very dark, brooding, really cool show. To do with Steven Spielberg, but I think Steven was not of the mindset to do anything Batman-y, and he really, I think especially coming off of Tiny Toons, Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs, he was still sort of in that really silly Warner Brothers mood. So basically, Tom Ruger took it over, and Tom had a vision, and I had the office right next to Tom, and I think John was on the other side of Tom, and he kept coming out of his office saying, I'm going to get you guys, you know, you guys are going to be, unfortunately, you guys are going to have to help me with this. And we didn't really know what it was. It was a superhero. And the one thing John and I didn't know about superheroes was, well, geez, they have to, you know, they have to do superhero things. And being comedy writers, we didn't want to do that. We just wanted to sort of have fun. And luckily, Tom Ruger did too. And I think that when John and I and Tom started working on that, it was probably like February, and we were premiering the very next year in September, which is ridiculous. In animation, you need lead time to animate it, and there was no time to think about this. So we just started writing stuff that made us laugh, and luckily, it was so much fun. It was just crazy and insane, and so yeah. Tom sort of asked us, you know, do you want to stay with Animaniacs, which is going to be picked up for another season, or do you guys really want to go down this really weird hallway with me? And we're like, yeah, sure, let's go. So that's sort of how we got started.
And I think on the DVD you said that you had trouble trying to see anything about Freakazoid, and you said, Tom, I found something. It's a clicker.
Like, right, yeah.
And
yeah,
you were so scared, I heard.
Yeah, well, we, you know, when we first thought, okay, he's got to be a superhero, but he's got this alternate identity as Dexter Douglas. We're like, John and I went away in a room, and we're thinking for days about, okay, how does he transform into Dexter Douglas? And we thought we would sit there and go, it could be this. Finally, John and I thought, well, okay, he turns into Freakazoid when he presses a clicker on his remote control for the garage. And we were very proud of ourselves. And we went into Tom, and Tom was like, I could care less how he turns into Freakazoid. You guys don't understand. That's not what this show's about. This show's about ridiculous stuff. So please, I don't need you to be thinking about that anymore. I need you to start writing. So that really gave us freedom to sort of say, well, okay, I guess we're not going to do the traditional superhero thing. We're just going to have this be really dumb.
Yeah.
So it was Tom Ruger all throughout, who's our executive producer, that sort of pressed us into being really weird and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. The best, I think, and my favorite parts, and not to overshadow of the Freakazoid episodes, but my favorite parts were the short episodes when you had the Huntsman or Lord Bravery. Yeah. Those were very, John told me that you wrote part of the Huntsman episodes, or most of them.
Well, no, actually, the Huntsman are all John's.
Uh-huh.
And Lord Bravery are all mine.
Oh, well, I got them mixed up then.
Yeah. So, and that's what was great with Freakazoid, because back when we were developing it, we knew, okay, Freakazoid, sort of like Animaniacs, he'll have his own segment, but then we'll have all these other, you know, crazy characters. And the only thing we knew is that they all had to be somehow superhero related. And I think because John and I like writing characters that are deeply flawed, you know, John would write the Huntsman, who's basically ready to kick some butt, but there's never any butt to kick.
Yeah.
And I was sort of very into Python, very into sort of Fawlty Towers. And I thought, well, geez, what if Basil Fawlty were a superhero? And that's sort of how that character came out.
And you put references like, do you think you can get me Superman? Or And that was, as a comic book fan, I thought that was hilarious. when you guys wrote the first season, was it a sigh of relief that you said, "Ah, thank God, this thing that took me that I worked on for like a short time that had to do it fast is finally on the air"? And then when someone says, "Hey, we're gonna go up for a second season," were you like, "This better be better than the first one," or were you hoping you had more time to work on that?
You know, by that time, I think we sort of figured out that the show was stream of consciousness,
uh-huh.
And it was about our announcer Joe Leahy sort of, you know, having fun with him, having fun with the dynamics. So by that time, I think I was ready to write more, and John was ready to write more.
Mm-hmm.
But then they sort of they kind of threw us for a loop a little bit when they said, okay, we're not writing shorts anymore. We want these to be half-hour stories, which was a totally – we had never thought about it that way. But in hindsight, I'm sort of glad they did, because what we did was then we were even more bizarre, I think. So yeah, I mean, we were ready. I was ready to write more. We weren't finished with it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Were you ever thinking that you had no chance to go a third season? John told me that there was no chance they would give you a third season. Were you
I think we were actually writing the second season when we found out that the numbers weren't really great. I mean, the numbers were really good for a college audience, but they weren't great for a kid audience.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, we have a commitment with Steven to make this season now, but the season you're writing is the last season you're going to write. And I think, frankly, knowing that, it allowed us to say, well, who cares? Let's really have some fun, which was kind of freeing, actually.
Very cool. And one more question, and then unfortunately our good buddy Paul Rugg has to leave, but he'll be back for
I will return. Yeah. I will return.
He will return in episode 7. But my final question is, if Freakazoid was done, let's say, about 10 years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. If Freakazoid was done 10 years ago, do you feel that with the power of the internet, with the power of social media, that it would have come back just like Futurama or Family Guy when they got canceled?
Maybe. You know what? It's really hard to know. It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I think that it definitely was of a time. And I think sort of the cutting edge stuff we did 20 years ago, the constantly breaking the fourth wall, cutting to live action shots, you know, doing all that stuff. 10 years ago, I think that was really being done a lot. So I'm not sure Freakazoid would have been as special, but I'll be honest with you. If they said, "Hey, through some strange set of circumstances, we'd like you to do more Freakazoids," I would jump all over that. Heck, I really would.
Sweet. All right, folks. Unfortunately, Mr. Rugg has to leave, but this is not his last. He'll be back. So
indeed.
Yeah. So please stay online, sir, so I can thank you. All right, everyone. Sure. Thank you for enjoying or listening to this program. We'll talk to you later. Bye bye. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoy. Unfortunately, Mr. Rugg had to leave because he's taking his daughter to the dentist. But I promise you, we will have more time to talk to him next week when we have him on. Also, I want to tell you guys to go to Podomatic.com, type in Kevin Gomez. You will find me, the Friends in Hell show. Also, go on Facebook, type in Friends in Hell. You can and like us, and you can also see our other past episodes, pictures. Right now we just started, so it's going to be a little slow. Pictures, any questions you guys want, we'll answer them. Anything you want, please go to Podomatic.com, Friends in Hell, or go to Facebook.com, like our page. Also, just listen to the show. I want to thank Paul Rugg again and all our amazing guests, and maybe we'll have more. So that's the end of the show, guys. Take care. We love you. This is Kevin Gomez signing off. Goodbye.
I saw a snail slithering across a railroad track. Ooey Gooey was his name.
Oh, I ate a bug. Cut, cut. A bug I ate with little wings.
Everybody take 5. I need to be alone.
Get out of here now.
I gotta postulate a new ending. Ending. Ending.
Hello, this is Mr. Director. And whenever I'm bored or feeling proclivic, I always listen to the Friends in Hell podcast with Kevin Gomez. Because, you know, there's one thing that it gives me.
Fry Leibin! I'm worldwide.